for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, March the 20th, 1992. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey is the speaker of the morning.
Get to the nitty gritty of it. Breaking curses and all this. I thought about what he was saying. If he shared everything that he believed. I'm like my husband. I don't preach from notes, but I write scriptures down. Because sometimes when you're ministering, it's hard to remember exactly where scripture is. So, but when he was saying that he shared everything that we might get angry with him. I remember one time when we first were getting into deliverance, I went to Baptist, Headless Baptist Church in Chicago. And Dr. Hagin was preaching. And I went to hear about deliverance because I was so excited about it. And I was sitting there, and I had my earrings on, and I was just really good Baptist then. I mean, still just Baptist. And Dr. Hagin got up and began to talk about soul ties. And, I mean, I'd never heard anything like that before. And I thought, I just can't accept this. And he said, and whoever pierced your ears, you've probably got a soul tie with them. And I got up and went down to the ladies' room downstairs, and I was just fuming, you know, saying, Lord, Lord, Lord. And he said to me, he's just ignorant, let him be ignorant still. And I thought, oh, yeah. Okay, Lord, he said, don't throw it out. He said, don't kick it out. He said, just lay it aside if you're not ready to accept it. And then wait. And I did. But before I left that meeting, man, I was believing every word he said because it was just so real, the things he was saying. And I appreciated his being, so he came to our church. Ben Harley had been to our church a couple of times and ministered. we appreciated them coming. And but I believe I'm like Glenn. I got hold of Glenn Irwin's book on Valentine and taught some of it in our church. And my little granddaughter will not have a heart of any kind. You've got to buy her a pair of shoes, and a little girl, she's got hearts in them. She won't have it. She says, no, I don't want that. And I mean, they just take it and believe it, and I praise the Lord for it. I'm not going to teach them soul ties this morning. I'd like to, but I'm not. The Lord had told me months before that one day he would allow me to come over here and teach them soul ties. But I've been hearing people talk about binding the strong man, and I want to share some more this morning in the area which my husband taught last night on our authority and the really how the Lord taught me. I can only teach you what I know. I'm not all that smart. My smart I have is from the Lord, and I have to listen to him, and he teaches me. He woke me up one morning, early in the morning, about 5:30, and I heard these words. He didn't say, you know, wake up. I just heard the Lord say, what did he bind on earth is bound in heaven. And I said, sure, Lord, I know that. I mean, we've been up all night a lot of times trying to do deliverance, you know, doing deliverance and couldn't get spirit out and stay there and all night because we didn't know how to bind. And then we learned a little bit about binding, and we still weren't getting everything bound. We were still having problems with some of the binding. And so I kind of turned over in the bed, and the Lord spoke to me again. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound. And I knew he was trying to tell me something, so I said, when he spoke to me the third time, I said, yes, Lord. And I got out of bed, went into the den, and got my Bible. And I said, now you tell me what you want me to know. So he took me to Matthew 16. I didn't intend to stop there, but that's where the Lord's leading me, so we'll go that way. In Matthew 16, this is what the Lord taught me that morning. And every time I find that the Lord teaches me something, he's going to give me an opportunity to use it probably before the day is over. Well, he gave me the opportunity to use this within an hour after he taught it to me. And he started with verse 13 in Matthew 16, and he said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, I read that scripture over and over again, and I had even shared on it in the church, and I had bound, and I had seen my binding work sometimes. I mean, well, it would work until I would really get something rough. And then the things just literally would look at me and say, you know, so what? You're binding me. And the Lord began to talk to me through the scripture. He said, now, go back and look at the 13th verse. He says, He had said to Peter and to the disciples, Whom do men say that I am? Well, you ask anybody who Jesus is, and they say, well, I know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God, and He is the Son of God. But you see, they're saying it, a lot of times they're saying it with their intellect. You know, you can know a lot of things, but if you don't really know it here, it doesn't mean anything to you. And so this is what the Lord was saying to me. He said, men say that I am the Son of God. But then he went on to say, and he said to Peter, whom do you say that I am? And so this is what the Lord was saying to me. He said, the word work for you according to who you believe I am. Mm-hmm. He said, when you know that when you are binding, who has the power and who is giving it to you, it works all the time. He said, you bind in whom I am. And he was saying to me, it is according to what I believe about Jesus Christ. What do you believe about him this morning? You see, demons fear and tremble at the name of Jesus. They know who he is. And I've had them tell me, you humans just really are terrible. You know, you have started and you don't know the what you've got. And they mock us sometimes because they say, you don't know what you've got. And that's true. We do not know. We know part of it. We know a little bit about it. But who is Jesus to you this morning? Who is Jesus Christ to you this morning? I asked the pastor in a Baptist church one time. I said, would you tell me something? I have dug into this word and dug into this word. And I want to know, I was going out sharing Jesus. I love to go and share Jesus. And I love to knock on doors and talk to people about Jesus. Not about a church, but about Jesus Christ. And I would go out and I'd share Jesus with them. I'd say, you know, he's the Son of God. He loves you and he loves me. And when we ask him to come into our hearts, he comes into our hearts. But I don't know how he does it. I just know the word says it and I believe it. And you're born again. So I wanted to know so I could share with people how he got saved. And I had prayed and prayed. I'd asked everybody I knew, could you give me some light on this word? And I'd ask the Lord. You know, I'm dense. Sometimes it takes a while for the Lord to get through to me. And so one morning I was sitting in the den, and the Lord said to me, he says, I'm going to teach you about salvation. And he taught me how you become a Christian. Not that all the Roman road and all the four spiritual laws of any bad decision, all the four spiritual laws. And I had taught it and shared it and seen many people come to Jesus, but I wanted to know how they were born again. And the Lord told me, and the reason I'm sharing this with you this morning, this, if some of you in here have doubts about if you truly are born again and know Jesus, the Lord's taught me salvation this way. He took me over into Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus came, the angel came to Mary, and said unto her that Mary, thou blessed, you know, the Lord is going to bless you, and he's going to, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that thing that's going to be born in you is going to be called Jesus. And he gave me the scripture where Mary said unto the angel of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Mary received the word in her spirit, her womb. And the Word, Jesus is the Word, is he not? The Word says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So she received the Word in her spirit and conceived Jesus. She received the Word that the angel brought to her. And the Lord said to me, he said, you're born again the same way. He said, you hear the Word. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. The Word How many times do you have as a person heard salvation before they eventually, they just all of a sudden, you know what it's saying? It's talking to you. So you receive that word inside of you, and Jesus is formed. Jesus is born again. You're born, as he's born in your spirit, you're born again. The word becomes flesh in you. Jesus Christ is there. Now, the reason for sharing this is, a lot of times Jesus comes into our hearts with the word, but he doesn't grow. Because we don't feed him. We don't walk in the word. We don't let the word grow in us. And the more word, revelation knowledge of the word we get in us, the stronger Jesus Christ becomes in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us, takes that word that comes in, and we're born again. Now, when you know that 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 you're born again and that you're God's child, then you have God's authority and his power. And you bind and you loose according to what you believe about Jesus Christ and who he is to you. If you're believing that the preacher can do it because he's the preacher and he can bind, well, see, you're not believing for yourself. So the word works according to who you believe Jesus is. Are you blood bought? Sure you are. Washed in the blood. Sanctified. Justified. God looks at you and I as if we've never sinned. He can see all the imperfections in us. He sees us perfect in him, in Christ. And so we go in that, with that knowledge and that authority in us, and whatever we bind on this earth is bound in heaven. God says, you bind it and I'll stand behind it with my word. All of heaven is behind it. And that's what it means when it says, when we bind on earth, it's bound in heaven, because the powers of God are behind it and it's done. And the warfare that we're doing this morning, the warfare that we're in today, is not against flesh and blood. Go over to Ephesians. I say what I say with scriptural, because what I say doesn't matter, but what the word says does. Amen. And I ask the Lord to not let you hear me, but hear him. And anything I say that is wrong, Lord, don't let him receive it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. In Ephesians 6, in verse 10, the word tells us, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We are to be strong in Jesus Christ. In who he is, in his power, in his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. Put on. What I'm going to say to you is put on Jesus. Put on his power and his authority. Cover your mind. Let's go on and read. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we're wrestling against principalities. I heard Glenn Vine, the forces that are working in this world. Principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions. We need to bind those every morning. Those are the forces that are out to destroy our children and to destroy us. And we need to do spiritual warfare. If you never cast a demon out in your life, you can bind. And you need to bind it before you need to bind before your feet hit the floor of the morning. When you wake up, before you hit the floor, you need to start binding the powers in the heavenlies. And bind over your family, bind over your children, over your grandchildren, over yourself, over everything. Take back from the devil everything he's taken from you.
Amen.
We are in a war, but we're winning because we have all power and authority, God's power, against the enemy. And so begin to bind. But we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting homosexual people. We're not fighting the women's rights, whatever that thing is. I don't want to get involved in it. But all the things that are coming against our world today is trying to destroy Christianity. We're not fighting the people that are doing that. We're fighting the powers behind it. And so as we bind and believe that when you bind it, that they're bound, that those powers are bound in the authority of Jesus Christ, then they're bound. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You see, I had a man ask me this morning, or last night, he said, how do you pray, turn your children over to the Lord? You turn them over to the Lord and you stand. And when the devil says, oh, look at him, he's out there doing this and he's doing that. See, I have a son, we have a son that's not saved. And the devil likes me to see all his, everything. In fact, he'll send somebody to me to tell me something he's done so I'll know about it. That's okay. I just look at it and say, well, it's okay. He's saved according to the Word of God. Amen. The Word says that thou shalt be saved in thy house. So my son said, don't care what the devil says. So you stand. When you've done everything you know to do, you stand. You see, I do that in the era of healing. The devil hit me. I asked Glenn yesterday when we came in. I said, Glenn, all the people come here have to fight this kind of battle. I have never lost my voice before. Longer than a day. For 3 days, I couldn't say a word. And I just almost gave up. I thought, no, I'm not. I'm not going to give up. The Lord's going to let me share. The devil's not going to win a victory. I'm standing. And I may sound strange this morning, but I'm standing. And the longer I stand up. Amen. 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 So when you've done everything you know to do, you stand. And the Word says, when you stand with the truth. You stand having your loins girded about with truth. What is truth? Jesus said, I am the truth and the way. I'm the life, the truth, and the way. Everything we have is in Him. We stand. I don't care what you say. The Word's true. And we have on the breastplate of righteousness. We have on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our armor is Him. Our chest is covered with His righteousness, not mine. God didn't see my righteousness. I don't have any. But He sees the righteousness of Jesus. So we stand, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that, to me, when Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, He's saying, you be prepared to preach. I don't care where you are. If you're on the corner of the street and someone comes up to you and you need to preach, you need to tell him about Jesus. Your feet are prepared to preach. You're to stand and preach God to him. Preach the Lord Jesus Christ that God loves him. And we stand. And then above all, we take the shield of faith. The Lord gave me a vision one time. I'm not much to visions and dreams. I always rebuke dreams because I always feel like they're not from the Lord. But the Lord gave me a vision one time years ago. This was the faith, standing with the shield of faith. And it was even back when I was in the charismatic walk of, you know, you never say anything negative. You never somebody feel bad. You never get sick and all this. And I still don't get sick. I don't believe in sickness. But anyway, I was standing there, and the Lord showed me standing, and I was surrounded by angels. And they had this great big shield, and it went, you know, covered them totally. And when they held it up, I was totally protected. And I thought, man, that's great. And outside the ring of the angels around me were demons, and they were trying to get to me. And I thought, oh, praise the Lord, they can't get here. But all of a sudden, the shields went down. And those things were just coming up and getting in the face of the angels and coming on over and letting me have it. And they were getting in the face of the angels and, you know, just chattering all this. And I thought, oh, Lord, what happened? He said, you let down your shield of faith. He said, as long as you got your faith up and your shield's working, you're protected. You're protected. You see, we let down our shield of faith when we, just was talking about last night, he said, we call it open doors. We get angry. We get agitated. We do things we know we shouldn't or say things we know we shouldn't. We open doors and we're not walking in love, and we let down our protection. And God says if we'll stand with our shield of faith out there, believing Him to protect us, He will. But the enemy likes to get you in doubt. And I'm going to show you how he gets you in doubt. Praise the Lord, move on. And he said, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said all the darts. And so as long as you've got your shield up, the darts can't get through to you. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now, the helmet of salvation is so important because this is where the enemy attacks in the mind. We are to put on the helmet to protect our mind from the enemy because he likes to play with your mind. That's why the scripture tells us over in 2 Corinthians, let's look at it. It said in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, says, well, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, the enemy will come and plant a thought in your mind. The brother that was talking to me about his son, he was telling me how the thoughts would come, and he'll say, you're praying it didn't work. You're praying somebody get healed and died. Well, so then he comes and says, well, healing don't work. And you've heard somebody, we've got a lady right now in our church that's got a ruptured disc. And the Lord told me when we first prayed for her, she had a ruptured disc, and she told me, no, I don't. I said, okay. I don't get it, but the Lord said, I didn't know. So I thought, well, I'll just the Lord. And she's been sick 3 months. And she finally gave in with the doctor. She'd been in so much pain. You know what she had? A ruptured disc. 3 months. Deteriorated disc. So, you see, the enemy comes. We prayed for her, and she wouldn't let us pray on the area of the disc. So we prayed for her. Yeah. Everything we think of, we prayed for 3 months. You see, your will's involved in everything you do. And if you resist, for God, if somebody speaks to you, like I did with the soul tax, if I'd have kicked that out, I'd have missed a lot that the Lord was trying to teach me. And instead of her saying, well, if you see that, well, then, you know, go at it. Amen. But she didn't. She said, no. Uh-huh. And so we even did deliverance on her. When we do deliverance, we'd go all the way around and do everything else. Never went after the rest of this. But anyways, he works in your mind, and he tells you that it's not going to work this time. And you've got to stand. You've got to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the Word of God. You know what I said? The first lady I prayed for that died, the first man, we prayed for, I said, Lord, I can't heal nobody. If you don't heal them, I can't help it. I don't want to let the devil steal from me either. I didn't know the man from Adam's cat. And they called us to pray for him, and we went charging over there and prayed for him. We saw him get up off the bed and walk. Hadn't been out of bed in I don't know how long. And he walked and ate and was rejoicing. And the next morning, his wife called the ambulance and came to the hospital and died. I don't know what happened. But you see, the enemy tried to, he really tried to work us over. So he works in your mind, and he said, you're not going to get it this time. You prayed, you bowed, you did this, and it's not working. But you stand, and you stand on the Word of God, what the Word says. You cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I've come to this, Lord, she taught me how, as I said, everything I preach, I've been taught by the Lord. He taught me, we had a lot of trouble with our kids and our grandchildren. I have a granddaughter who's run off on how many times, and we pray her back. I get the angels up and bring her back. And the enemy would work in the mind, and I said, Lord, I am so tired. It's such a warfare up there. And the Lord told me one day, he said, you've got authority. He said, call for the angels to come in and stand in every opening of your mind to protect your mind. I never heard of that before. I never heard of that before. I heard him teaching on it. And I thought, well, Lord, you said do it, I'm going to do it. I said, Father, I just ask the angels in all the doors of my mind to stand and protect my mind from all these thoughts that are coming in my mind. And I bind everything in me that's not of you in the name of Jesus. And you know, it was amazing to me what happened. Just amazing. And I learned, I take authority. You said, well, I can just bind my mind. Well, I was binding my mind. It didn't work until I put the angels there to stand and protect from the enemy, and they stood and protected my mind, and I bound those thoughts, and they left. Said the devil, my granddaughter ran off, and the devil said she's going to be killed. They're going to take her and kidnap her, and you know what all the things your mind can think of. She was only 14, and they were coming from every direction. And then this would happen, and that would happen. Not only was our grandchild, but it was like the enemy was attacking in every direction, and it was just coming at you like this. So the word just cast down every imagination and every thought. And if you have trouble casting them down, you know where they're coming from. They're not coming from God. So we have to stand, and we have to stand strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Over in Luke, in the 12th chapter, Glenn was talking about the kingdom. I love the teaching on the kingdom. I just love it. I buy all the tapes of the teachers teach on the kingdom, because they're revealing the word to me. There's much revelation knowledge in their teaching, and I love it. I love manna from the Lord. I love the revelation knowledge. But over in chapter 12 of Matthew, as I said last night, I'm a deliverance teacher. But I love God's word. I love the things that God's doing. And I want so much to walk in His presence continuously. I want to be in God's presence. I want to see those things that I don't see. I want to understand and know. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Him. And I will. Amen. Praise the Lord. But here in Matthew 12, we see about the two kingdoms at war is what I see. the kingdom within you, there's a kingdom of God in you. God is building his kingdom, and the devil has already had a kingdom in you because he had you before God did. And these two kingdoms war within you. And the one you feed is the one who's the strongest. So in Matthew 12, I know you know this, if you're interested in deliverance or not, because these are deliverance scriptures. It says, then was brought into Jesus, him, one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch as the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. You see, he was blind, God healed his blindness, he delivered him from the devil. He delivered him from this demon, Jesus did. It said, and the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thought and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? But if I cast out, he said, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. They weren't evidently talking so much against his casting out demons, because Jesus said, if your children are casting them out by Beelzebub, and he goes on to say, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, tell me something. How can you walk in the kingdom of God without doing deliverance? He said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. So, you see, we're not in conflict. We're growing. We're wanting to go on into that place of children of God, that we can walk in the power and authority of God. I heard someone say yesterday, can you be in the 30-fold and 100-fold? I don't know about 100-fold, but I want to be there in the 100-fold, don't you? I want all that God's got. I don't care what it is or what it costs me. I want it. And God says, come on, lead in the principles of doctrines of baptism and all of this and go in. And that's where I want to go. And he goes on to say, or else how can one enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind a strong man and then he will spoil his house? So we need to bind the strong man. I've heard several here say, is that this the strong man? Is that the strong man? You know, a lot of times I don't know who the strong man is. I just say, I bind the strong man in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to spoil his house. And I'm going to take the authority God's given me in binding, and I'm going to bind that spirit that's ruling that individual, that's tormenting that individual. I don't care who he is. The word says it, and I'll get to it in a minute, that every knee shall bow to the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So it does not matter who the strong man is, but we know there is a strong man, so we bind him. And you know, I really believe that we need to keep him bound in us so God's kingdom can grow, so the devil can't steal so much from us. He steals so much that you hear, you don't retain as much as you should by hearing. You know, you obtain a certain amount by reading the word, and you obtain a certain amount by hearing the word, and you need to confess it with your mouth. That's why it says over in Romans that if thou shalt believe in the heart and confess with thy mouth. And it also says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I find that my faith grows more by my saying and repeating the word. When I pray, I always use the word to pray, because it builds my faith as I pray. God's word said, Jesus defeated the devil with the word. He said, it is written. And that's the way you and I do. Now, one scripture Jim quoted last night, I don't remember if you read it, was over in Revelation 12, is a weapon that we've got, and it's the blood of Jesus. We all know the blood. We all know. It says in verse 7 of Revelation 12, and it says, there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives until death. It is so important to know who you are. But when the accuser of the brethren accuses you, as I said before, you tell him. They overcame him with the blood. We know pleading the blood is not scriptural. Ministry was, I plead the blood. Well, the devil sometimes, the demon sometimes don't know what you mean when you're saying, you know, I'm covered with the blood. I say, hey, I'm blood bought. Jesus bought me. He paid for me. He went to the cross for me. If you got a problem with that, you can take it up with God. And you use the word, what the word says, the blood has done for you. And your testimony is, I'm God's child. I'm his child. And he says that nothing, no weapon formed against me will prosper. God said that. And we stand on it. We come against the powers of darkness and the enemy and tell them who we are and the authority we've got. Oh, in James, the scripture tells us to not be doers of the word, hearers of the word. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And I find so many people are hearers of the word and won't do. They won't do. I get calls from everywhere that want me to bind them. I get people call me, would you please pray for me? And bind me, spirits are tormenting me. I said, well, how long is it going to be till you stand up and say, hey, I've got authority over you. You want somebody to do your warfare for you. You do it. It's your job. We teach you. I've taught you to do it. Now you stand and say, you've done all you're going to do to me. You got to be a doer. What I'm telling you doesn't work automatically. It works because you believe and you do it. Amen. You do it. There's enough people in here. When we leave this place, that's all that we're going to get this week. When we leave this place, go home and just start doing it. You just want to go home and go into churches and preach all this to them. You just start doing it. You bind in the heavenlies. You go into the heavenlies and do warfare. You bind and you fight over your church. You go fight the enemy over your church, over your city. And you bind those powers and you lose hearing ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart. And you ask God to just do a work there. But don't say a word. Just sit back and just see all God's doing and be happy about it. You see, if you'll just do it and practice what we're preaching, you'll see God do a mighty work. And then you'll all of a sudden hear people, see people saying things and coming to you, and you'll begin to, they'll be hungry. They'll be coming to you saying, could you tell me something about this, or I've got this bothering me. The biggest trouble with people that I find in the religious world is that they try to cover up their problems instead of uncovering and getting rid of them. And they'll come to you and they'll say, hey, can you help me? You seem so happy. You can be going through all kinds of battles if you know who you are. You don't have to go around. Amen. Amen. I tell you, God is good. He's faithful. He's faithful. He never fails. He never fails. He's faithful. And I tell you, I've seen him. I've seen him move mountains. Literally move mountains. It works as we stand in him, in Jesus. I am so thankful for all that God is doing and all that he's showing us. And I want you to know that he's given us so much. He's given us the name of Jesus. Let's go over to Philippians. Let's read that scripture. I tell you, this is one of my favorite in deliverance. I tell the demons, I just stand up and say, you know, the word says that God has given him a name that's above every name. His name is above every name, and that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to who he is. And I said, demon, you're going to bow to him. You're going to bow and then you're going to burn. He said in verse 8, let me read this. I'm going to read it in its entirety. He said, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. And you tell themselves, you tell the enemy when he attacks, Jesus humbled himself and was obedient to death. So I don't have to put up with you. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things, that's in the second heaven where the enemy's throne is or his power is or whatever he's got there, and things in the earth, on this earth, everything that belongs to the devil has to bow, and you've got to take it away from him and under the earth. even in hell, they will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will know and bow to Him and who He is and His authority. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. They don't like that scripture. The enemy doesn't like that scripture. But they know. They'll tell you it's not true. But they lie. You see, God has given Jesus Christ a name, and He's given that name to you and I. Over in Acts, it tells us they went about preaching in the name. The name. It was the name that all these things happened in. We've got the blood of Jesus, and we've got His name. We are well equipped. God didn't give us all of this to sit on the pew and say, oh boy, I love the Spirit of God. That's what drew me into the walk in the charismatic group, but I was so hungry to see God's power move. And I love the tongues interpretation. So I love the power gift. I love the Spirit of God. I love to see God in operation. And I went to, as Jim said, we went to every meeting. Drove everywhere. I hear people sometimes complain, it's so hard to get to your church. Got to drive 20 miles to get to it. Now we drove 200 to get to it. Just to hear a Bless Me meeting. And I say Bless Me because they weren't doing deliverance. They weren't really teaching a person who they were. They were teaching them, you know, you can get the Holy Ghost, which is great. God told me He didn't call me to get people saved. He didn't call me to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. He called me to teach them deliverance. He said there's people on every corner that are teaching salvation. Praise God. I praise God for it. There are those that are teaching how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I praise the Lord for it, because without the Holy Spirit, you don't get revelation knowledge of the Word. But He called me to teach deliverance. And so I say, Lord, there's got to be more. And these people would sit on the pews, and I say, I got to know what's wrong. I saw everyone that I knew. And I love these people. We were with all the, Jim and I got thrown with the leaders. And every time someone come in, we never knew how we ended up with them. But we was always with them. We always went out to eat with them. We went on trips with them. We were always with them. We didn't understand it. But I think God was showing us things not to do, not to be, and not to walk in. They did not want to go any further. They came out of denominational churches. They were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's as far as they wanted to go. But I was seeing people come up and need healing, and they weren't getting healed. They would get in every prayer line, every time that someone would come to preach the word, or teach, or minister, and these same people, I watched them get up out of their chair, and they walked down here to get prayed for, and then I was sitting where I could see their faces when they went back, and I didn't get it today. And they didn't, because they were expecting a man to do it instead of God.
Amen.
They had no faith. Uh-huh. They had been prayed for so many times. I said that I used to preach this a lot, and said they had hands laid on them because they didn't have any hair, and they had so much oil on them that they couldn't get the clothes on.
Amen.
And yet they weren't healed.
That's right.
And I was saying, Father, why? Why? What is wrong? He told me when He began to show me deliverance. He said they've got real problems. Oh, bitterness, hate, hurt, rejection. All these things that are in there just grinding away. And I'd watch people. I was vice president of Agape one time for 2 years, and I had to be there early. And we had the meeting with two doors, and I would sit at this place where the people had to come in this other door, and I'd watch them come by this door. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And when they get to this door, everything was great.
Uh-huh.
They put their cloak on. And they were afraid to say, hey, I've got problems, and I'm hurting, and I need help. And they weren't getting healed because they were not willing to confess that they hadn't forgiven. They had been hurt, and they would not forgive the one that hurt them. I've had people in deliverance come to me for deliverance and say, I'll not forgive my mother. You don't know what she did to me. I said, okay, I can't help you. God can't help you if you're not willing to forgive. If you want to hold on to that, you can keep it. We can't separate you from your friends. And you make that a friend. You hold on to it, it's a friend. I'm not about to give it up. And they weren't getting healed because they didn't want to go any further. And I got accused when that Lord put me into deliverance. And you know it's true. You heard me last night. You heard me again today. Don't let her come. Because all she talks about is the devil. She's just glorifying the devil. And that's what they say. You're giving glory to the devil. God says uncover the works of the devil. Jesus came. Jesus was manifested. 1 John 3:8 said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And as long as they're covered up, they're still working. But once you get them out in the open, they can't work. And you've got to open the door and let it out. And then, it's like an old sore. If you cover it up, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And you take it and let the air get through it and open it up, it heals. And this is why people are not getting healed. Because of all the things that were there. Because God's word is truth. It is true. The word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, God's word, will endure forever. And it will never be changed. Not one dot, not one tittle. So God has given us the name of Jesus. He's given us the blood. Now, I've touched on the angels, but I want to give you some scripture on the angels. I'm in deliverance. I know that we need the angels.
Yes.
We have authority over the angels. There's scripture over in the Psalms, and I'll get you in it, that tells you that God's angels obey. They hearken unto the word of God.
Uh-huh.
It's God's word they hear. And he's given us authority. In Hebrews, in the first chapter, in verse 7, it says, and the angels, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Verse 14 says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They ministered to Jesus when he came after the wilderness, the temptation in the wilderness. They came and ministered to him. But he gave us the angels to minister for us. When my husband leaves to go to work of a morning, I pray and put angels around every member of my family. I pray for him. We live on 51 Highway, and unless you've ever lived on 51 Highway, you have no idea how reckless it is. But we live right on the highway, and it's just terrible. He goes to work in the morning, and I always pray as he drives out the driveway, and I ask the Father to put angels around him, his protecting angels around him, to protect him not only in the car but in the at work, and to bring him home safely, and that no harm will come to him or his car, and that he won't harm anyone else. And I pray for my family that way. I pray, God, I say, Father, I ask for protection. Your angels to encamp around about my family today, that no weapon of the enemies will form against them. I don't know what my family is doing, but I can pray protection around them. And I ask for those angels to protect them and to bring them safely home. Listen, the devil's not going to have any of my kids or my grandchildren. He may think he's got them. He may have them for a time, but they will walk in the knowledge of Jesus Christ because God has promised me my household. So we have authority. We can call upon, use the blood of Jesus Christ. When I'm doing deliverance, I cover my grandchildren. They all come to me for prayer before my three. I got three in the church. And they come to me to pray for them before we do deliverance. I pray protection. They have protection. I have an angel that protects them. But they come, they want prayer, so I pray. And I cover them, ask the Father to cover them with the blood of Jesus, that nothing can touch them while we're in deliverance. So we have the blood of Jesus. You cover your family. When you go into spiritual warfare, you bind backlash and retaliation over your family, over your property, over your work, over everything you've got. You've got authority. Use it. And you have favor. Do you know that when you walk in this ministry of deliverance, and I'm saying ministry of deliverance, when you walk with God and give him everything you've got, that God will meet every need you've got? He will. When you are obeying him. So you have the blood of Jesus. You have the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the angels of the Lord. How many times have you called upon the angels of the Lord to protect your family or you? You have authority. In storms. We had a couple, a friend that used to be friends of ours in Baptist Church, we're still friends, that were killed. Both of them were killed a while back. They just celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary. And they were going on a trip, Caribbeans, I think. And they, instead of flying, since they were retired, they thought, we'll just drive. And they got over in Mobile, Alabama, and had a wreck, and both of them were killed instantly. And I thought, Lord, if they had only known how to put protection around them. We didn't know they were going. Since we left the Baptist church, we lost all our friends, but we still were friendly with them when we would meet them. But we didn't know they were going. But they were both killed instantly. But you see, when you leave this place to go home, to drive to your different homes,
Ask God to put protecting angels around you to protect your car so that no weapon of that the devil has will touch you. So he's given us everything we need in the area of spiritual warfare. And then he said, you go and you do it. It doesn't work automatically. Stand in authority of who you are. And I'm as long-winded as my husband, but I'm going to give you a reprieve. I'm going to stop because I've said everything God wanted me to say. He's given you authority. Use it. Bind. If you've got a child that's being rebellious, bind the spirit of rebellion. Bind. I don't mean just bind and stop. Bind. Listen, when I'm in deliverance and I've got a manifested spirit, sometimes it takes me 30 minutes to get that person back. I bind. I continue binding. And if he's in rebellion, that may not be his problem. You may need to continue binding until the Lord shows you what the real problem is. And then you bind it. One thing I do know, that once you do bind the right spirit, you get them free. You can, and we say this, deliverance works. If you come for deliverance and you go home the same, you didn't get any deliverance. But when you get deliverance, you're going to know it.
Amen.
And if you come to this camp meeting saying, God, I want everything in me that's not of you out. When they do deliverance, when deliverance is done, mass deliverance is done, or whenever, you can get free. But you know, it's up to you. You've got a will. You can sit there and say, I don't have that.
No, I got it.
And look around and say, who's watching me if I maybe let it slip out? You see, it's really up to you. Everything that we receive from God is according to what we're willing to believe and accept. I heard the brother last night, I'm sure he must have touched it this morning in the early morning prayer meeting, where he said that Jesus, everything's been put under the feet of Jesus, and it's true. Everything. And where are you? You may be in the feet. We're in the body. We're part of his body. And everything that Jesus defeated is under his feet, and therefore everything we've got. I always tell, a lot of people ask me why I wear high heels all the time. Because I'm not young. I said, because I love to hear them click. Because you know what makes me think of? Satan's under my feet. He's under my feet. He is. I'm in the body of Jesus. And that devil is under my feet. We're seated in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God.
Yes,
and the authority that we have comes from the right hand.
Amen.
The power of God is far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness.
Amen.
Our authority comes from the throne of God.
Yes.
And it's far above anything the devil wants to throw at you. And it'll work for you as you believe. But if you go and you try it, and I'll tell you something else. If you're not living like God wants you to, your faith won't work because the devil will say, you're doing this and you're doing that, and he'll block your faith. So get everything right between you and the Lord, and then come up fighting. Take your household back from the enemy. Take your kids away from the enemy. If they're on drugs, pray them out of it. My son told, as a minister at Lamar Mission in Memphis, he's ministers to alcoholics, drug addicts, and everything under the sun. And he brought another pastor to my house the other day, and he wanted to meet me, and he's been asking me why I don't come down and minister. And I said, well, I haven't asked. I don't go unless I'm asked. I may go, but I won't minister unless I'm asked. I will push. And he told this man, said, my mother prayed for me for 17 years. I did. So you see, God's word is true, and he's faithful. So I didn't know how to pray for years. I was in a church that didn't just tell me to pray. Now, Lord, it's your will. You do this. But the word is his will. So take your family back from the devil. Take your city back from the devil. Take your church back from religious spirits and ask God's power to fall upon it. And when the preacher prays, Lord, let it be like on the day of Pentecost. Say, do it, Lord, do it. Lord, I'm in total agreement with him.
Amen.
Be in total agreement with him.
Amen.
And see God work. I said I was going to close. I've got one thing I want to add with you. And this, the Lord just quickened it to me as I said, be in total agreement with him. In Matthew 18, it talks about where two agree is touching anything, it shall be done. Let me say this to you. Be careful who you agree with.
Yeah.
Because you may be believing with all your heart, and you may get somebody to agree with you that really, say they're going to agree with you, they don't really believe it.
Right.
So I don't agree with people for this reason. Because the word says we're two. Well, God's word is one. The word says it. So agree with the word of God and see it happen. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word.
Glory to God.
Lord, we thank you for Jesus because he is the living word. We thank you, Father, for all that you've given unto us in his name. And we ask you now, as we, Father, just continue this day, that the enemy will not steal anything from us that you want us to remember. I bind Satan's power over our minds, wills, and emotions in the name of Jesus. I bind him from stealing any word from us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to remove things that anything I said that was not of you, I ask you, Father, blot it out of their minds in Jesus' name. And Father, we'll praise you and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, what we have to do is hide the word in our heart and know that it's there. And then when we come up against these situations, then we use it. The scripture tells us that it's a two-edged sword. We need to learn to use that sword, that it is written. That's the authority we have to stand on. It is written. And the sooner we learn that, and the sooner we use it, why, the more results that we'll have in every area of our life. Now, I made a remark, some remarks earlier, and she followed up a little bit about different things. But the things that we talk about that, well, some of you might get mad at us about is not because somebody told us these things. These things we have learned by experience, just as the coffees have learned by experience. You learn it when you pray with people. You're confronted with situations that you don't know the answer to, and you don't understand, and then God reveals something to you, and then you study it and look it up, and then that brings you to an understanding of something, and through these circumstances, you come to understandings of things of the Word of the Lord. And then pretty soon, you go around and you hear somebody get up and talk about it. You say, well, you know, I saw that, or I heard about that, or something. And so, or like with us, something happens when we're praying with somebody and a circumstance, and we come and we're confronted with something, and something just out of the blue, you know, you say, but it's not. It's discernment. It's the Spirit of the Lord. And you pray with them, and it works. And then you begin to study, and you find. So that's the way most of the things that we talk about, we have learned. Now, we've learned a lot of things from reading, but then you put it in practical practice, you see. And just like I was talking about Valentine's Day, or Valentine. I'll just tell you what it is. There is a disease called lupus. It has not been heard of very much, but there's more and more people that are having it. Lupus. Lupus is also known as Valentine's. Same. You look up in your encyclopedia and it'll tell you that they're interchangeable. Valentine and lupus are interchangeable. And now that may not make much understanding to you, but let's look at what Valentine stands for. Do you know what Valentine stands for? Some of you do. Some of you have read is there something in your book about Valentine's Day or not? There's nothing in there. There is in one of the books somewhere, and there is in some of our writings about it. But the Valentines, now I used to take part in it. We had a big Valentine's doings when I was Sunday school superintendent at our church, and with the young people's leader, we had a big Valentine's dinner. We decorated the dining room up, and everybody, we sold tickets, and everybody come to a Valentine's dinner. But after I found out about it, I had to repent and said, Lord, I'm sorry I participated in that, because that was an abomination to you. That is an abomination to you, because what Valentine stands for is sex, and the arrow and the heart, the arrow in the heart, and you see the arrow shot through the heart. Well, all that That's a male and female sex organ. That's what it represents. That's what it stands for. And so when you participate in that, you're participating in things related to sex. And that's not now in the right relationship and all that. Sex is right and it's correct. You see, we haven't been taught in these areas. That's why we've got so much incest in the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about here, right in here, today. Today, right here. Yes, it is. Because the pulpit has never taught that God said, you're cursed if there's incest. God says you're cursed if you play around with the dogs and the cats and the bestiality. We never taught our kids that, especially the kids that live on the farms. Bestiality. It's an abomination to God. And why are we cursed by it? Because the pastor never stood in the pulpit, and the Sunday school teacher didn't stand in the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school superintendent didn't stand up before the Sunday school teachers and tell them to teach it, and to tell the kids that God says you're cursed. The fear of God in our hearts. We need the fear of God put in us so that we realize that God says, if you participate in these things, you're cursed. God says bestiality, homosexuality, lesbianism, says you're cursed. And many other things. He says you're cursed. We've never been taught the fear of God in these areas. So we take it so lightly that we have no fear of it. And we participate in some of these things and grow up in it. Or we do it because of the neighbor kids or the kids at school. We should be taught so that we stand up and tell them. It should be in us as a child that we stand up before the kid that we play with or the kids even in the Sunday school, that we stand up and say, God says if I do that, he'll curse me. And if our kids have that instilled in them, we wouldn't have all the trouble in America today that we've got because of the sexual promiscuity. We wouldn't have it today if the church had done their duty in the last 75 or 100 years and taught us that God says it's an abomination to him and we're cursed and we all had the fear of God in us. All of us would have been in a different area. We had not done a lot of things we've done and got ourselves cursed and bound in by demon spirits and need deliverance from it if we'd have been taught from the pulpit that God says it's an abomination. And now we stand up and tell you that it's abomination, and you say, oh, that's Old Testament, I don't have to listen to that stuff. I beg your pardon. You'd better listen to it. You'd better pay attention to it. You'd better study it and make it a part of your life. For God says, I change not. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what it says. I used to hear that, and I said, oh, that's nice, God, but nobody can be like that. That's nice. That's what he used to think. Now I see that God meant what he said, and he means it for you and for me. That we're to walk and live by his word and to obey it and to make it part of our lives. Not something we hear, something we heard about, but it's to be a part of our living daily life. And as we practice and make it that way and determine, he says that we hide his word in our heart that we sin not against him. We have to do that. But they used to have what the prolactophies or whatever, and they still some, but in the Old Testament days, why they had a thing, they put the scripture, wrote the scriptures and wrapped them up and put them on their forehead. Well, that's fine, but that's not what that means. That means that your mind has the word of God in it and you live by it and that you have it in your hand and you work by it. Your thought and your work is the word of God moving in and through you. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way God intends for it to be. That's the way we are to be. I have to do that and you have to do it. It's to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. And there are so many things that tradition has said that this is what it says, and we can do what we want because it says this. Well, anyway, Valentine's Day is just one of those areas. And there's a
whole lot more. Amen. Well, I guess, have we got, are they ready to feed us? Okay, we can eat, and then we can have a few minutes before the ladies' meeting and before the men's meeting in here at 1:15, and then those meetings will break up around 2:30, and we'll get started back here about 2:45 for the afternoon service, and we will conclude this afternoon with deliverance. Amen. You've been hearing about it. We've been talking about it. Now we're going to do it. You know, some people you say, well, I don't know if I want any part of that. Well, that's not you talking. That's that spirit in you that's afraid of what's going to happen to it. And so if you feel that way, well, you just put your foot down and say, oh, no, buddy, your days are short, your time has come, and we're going to get rid of you. Amen. Amen. So don't let the fear arise in your heart. Have no fear. God is victor. He is Lord. And as Sister Mildred said, put him on the floor.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can hide in our heart. We can stand and take dominion and authority in the name of Jesus. For you said, Jesus, that I give you my name and the authority of it to set the captives free. We thank you for it, Father. Father, we thank you for the food that they prepared for it. Make it health and strength to us. Help us to rejoice together as we visit, Lord, one with another in the things of the Lord. And then, Lord, we thank you for setting the captives free this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.